Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us now is Max Hoffman, the Associate Director for National Security and International Policy at the Center for American Progress, where his research focuses on Turkey and the Kurdish regions. Welcome to Background Briefing, Max Hoffman.
Thank you, Ian. Good to be with you.
Well, thank you, Max. And are we, well, should we be concerned or alarmed that two NATO allies are at loggerheads? I mean, the U.S. has an important Air Force base there they share with Turkey as a NATO member in Incirlik, not far from where this Free Syrian Army, I mean, where the Kurdish, the YPG, which the U.S. has supported, they've been the only effective fighting force, the only boots on the ground that would take on the Assad Russians and the Iranians, and they've proved successful. We're hearing from our military that the U.S. wants to maintain this force for the long term in this region, but now you've got Turkey's leader, Erdogan, vowing to strangle this force at birth. So the U.S. and Turkey are not on the same page.
No, certainly. They're far from the reading from the same script at this point, Ian. And this is sort of the culmination of several years of real tension between the U.S. and Turkey over Syria policy. The issue at stake here, as you mentioned, in a broad sense, is the U.S.'s support for Syrian Kurdish fighters, the YPG, which is part of a larger militia called the SDF that the U.S. has sought to build up, that to include non-Kurdish forces as well. The narrow crisis right now is focused on one of three Kurdish cantons in northern Syria. This one is called Afrin. And the Afrin YPG has actually not been supported by the United States. So there are no U.S. forces there. The U.S. hasn't supplied this particular group of Kurdish fighters. But Turkey has viewed them as a very serious threat for a long time. In fact, the Afrin YPG have had closer ties to the Russians and to the Syrian regime. But Turkey views all of these Kurdish forces as a real national security. They've been warning for quite a while, for over a year, that they might move militarily on Afrin. And now it seems Erdogan has made good on the threat. As I said, in a narrow sense, there aren't U.S. forces or direct interests at stake. The problem is that the Syrian Kurds do share broad goals of federal autonomy in, you know, post-war Syria. And the risk is that this move on Afrin, in addition to causing a humanitarian catastrophe, could spark a wider war between the Turks and Kurdish forces that the U.S. is involved with in other parts of Syria, as well as inflame Turkish-Kurdish conflict and fighting within Turkey itself. So this is a very complicated and dicey situation where the prospects of escalation into either a conflict between Turkey, a broad conflict between Turkey and the Kurds, or between Turkey and the Syrian regime, are high, and also the risks of accidental clashes that perhaps, you know, a U.S. soldier gets caught in the crossfire, that sort of thing, become those risks become very real. So it's very disconcerting. It's a very brash move by Erdogan, but no surprise there.
So let's focus then on this Afrin group of Kurds. This is something I'm learning for the first time, that they are, I guess they're more allied. Are they allied with the PKK, who the Turks are adamantly against?
That's right. So Turkey has, for 30-plus years, faced a domestic Kurdish insurgency led by the PKK. Turkey views the Syrian Kurdish forces, the YPG, as basically a branch, the Syrian branch of the PKK. There's an element of truth to that, in that these are leftist Kurdish insurgents. They share recruitment. They share some supply chains with the PKK. The PKK is certainly very influential. But this is also a different environment in Syria, in which the YPG has essentially, you know, taken over charge of local security and actually done a decent job protecting the local population. The Turks say that they have forced non-Kurds to move from their villages. There's a pretty complicated history there. It's kind of hard to tease out exactly what's happened. But Turkey views all of these Kurds in one basket, basically. And they are maneuvering. They're concerned. They have an eye on the post-war Syria. They fear that if they don't act as they are acting now, there will be effectively a Kurdish autonomous statelet along Turkey's southern border. They fear that from that statelet, the PKK or affiliated Kurds could launch attacks into Turkey and support the PKK insurgency within Turkey. And so that's where Erdogan's very, you know, strong rhetoric comes from, that they'll you know, strangle this at birth. The U.S. views it differently. They've been the U.S. has been focused on countering ISIL. The Kurds, as you mentioned, are very effective on that front. They also, the U.S. is focused on de-escalating the conflict, so the Kurds have been able to, you know, hold territory, stabilize it. The civilians in those areas are treated reasonably well, and the U.S., you know, sort of thinks that they can work with the Kurds, they can be a moderating influence, and help stitch together a more peaceful situation in the hopes of some, you know, lasting political settlement in the future with the regime and the Russians and every other player in this conflict. But the, you know, President Erdogan clearly, for a few reasons here, which we can get into, his patience ran out. The U.S. had been urging restraint for 2 years, and Erdogan had largely held off, and now he's gone in. So we'll see where the next phase of this conflict takes us.
But if this group that the Turks are pounding now, and that elements of the Free Syrian Army are also working with alongside Turkish troops in a ground offensive, if they are PKK oriented as well as having dealt with the Russians and the Iranians, and they're not a part of the YPG and the broader SDF, the Syrian Democratic Forces that the U.S. support, then it doesn't sound like any great loss. I mean, unless their Kurdish brethren feel that you know, solidarity with these people.
That's right. So the Afrin YPG had partners with the Russians and with the Syrian regime. The Russians, it appears, have basically hung them out to dry. I think what happened on the Russian front is that Russia basically traded the Afrin YPG for a carte blanche in pursuing Turkish-backed rebels in Idlib province to the south. So Russia basically, it's clear that senior Turkish officials visited Moscow earlier this week to basically, you know, seal the deal. The Turks have been flying fighter aircraft into Syria, which the Russians had to allow given their dominance of that part of Syrian airspace. So clearly a deal has been worked out between Ankara and Moscow on this front. What that means is that the Afrin YPG's only friend is the Syrian regime at this point. And it's likely that this Turkish move will push them into the arms of the Syrian regime. And that probably is not in, well, certainly not in U.S. interest. It's not in Turkish interest either, but that's going to be one likely outcome. They may, in fact, even, you know, try and invite the Syrian regime to reoccupy parts of Afrin to protect them from the Turkish offensive. The real risk, you know, the U.S., you're right, the U.S., the Pentagon this week said, listen, these Afrin YPG are not the guys we've been working with. They basically said, these aren't our guys. They're on their own almost. The difficulty is not so much the narrow Afrin YPG. The difficulty is, first, as I mentioned, the humanitarian cost here. There are hundreds of thousands of civilians in this area, and this is going to be, you know, a hard-fought campaign if it continues. And the other thing is, the Syrian Kurds do share long-term political goals across all three cantons across northern Syria. And this offensive will enrage Syrian Kurds and Turkish Kurds to the point where it's likely that we'll see attacks on Turkish forces or Turkish-backed rebel forces in other parts of Syria. And I'm thinking now of Manbij to the east and also east of the Euphrates along the Turkish border. And this border, you know, there are outposts every 100 meters or so with Turkish soldiers and armored vehicles. And also within Turkey, there are, of course, lots of soft Turkish targets. And it's very possible that Kurdish insurgents will start targeting these outposts. You know, of course, everyone hopes that it doesn't escalate in this way. And certainly the U.S. has been and will continue to be urging restraint from, you know, on both the Turkish side and the Kurdish SDF YPG side. But, you know, these are people who will be seeing their brethren shelled and bombed by Turkish forces in Afrin, and there's only so much influence the U.S. has here.
Just to talk about the broader post-Syria, post-Iraq situation, and unless, of course, this thing inflames the Syrian war even more and it gets worse, which is not entirely off the table, as far as I can tell. But just to look forward here to the idea, as much as Turkey hates the idea of the Kurds having this state along their southern border that could link up with the Kurdish regions in Iraq, isn't that the long-term, should be, I would think, the long-term goal of the U.S. and others, and Israel in particular as well, to have a... First of all, they're the only forces that have stood up to Assad, the Russians and the Iranians, and then the only useful forces that fought with the U.S. or along with our special forces to liberate Mosul, et cetera, in Iraq. We know that Iraq is pretty much, thanks to Bush and company, Rumsfeld, Rice, the whole gang, basically handed over Iraq to Iran. So Iran, Russia, they've got the Iranians have almost got the Shia crescent into Lebanon. Wouldn't it make sense, if you're not going to give up the entire region, to sort of build on what you have left, which are the Kurds?
You know, there's a lot of disagreement on that question. What I'd say is, the U.S. is still thinking about, you know, it has a one Iraq policy. The U.S. is committed to trying to keep Iraq together. That means that the Kurdish the Kurdish regional government, the autonomous Kurdish region in the north, the U.S. has applied a lot of pressure, you know, most recently and dramatically after their independence referendum, a lot of pressure on the Kurds to try and work things out with Baghdad and basically have a federal system. Within Syria, you know, nobody has outlined an end state for Syria in any detail that appears realistic yet. But what seems apparent is that Syria will not be put back together the way it was before. There are, you know, hundreds of thousands of people have been killed, millions displaced. Understandably, the various ethnic and religious groups are going to need some security guarantees, and likely they'll find it difficult to live together in a unified Syria. Given that fact, I think that the Syrian Kurds understandably have been demanding essentially federal autonomy as part of any post-war Syria. The U.S. hasn't explicitly endorsed that. They've said that the Kurds must have a seat at the table. They must have some degree of local control. Whether that's an independent sort of Kurdistan, certainly, you know, beyond that, if it's an independent and unified Kurdistan across Syrian and Iraqi Kurdish areas, that's really a question that perhaps might be, it might be unreachable given all of the interests and the regional powers who would oppose such a goal. But the Kurds have, I think, legitimate demands that they have political autonomy within these countries. They also have very troubled histories in both countries. You know, both Syria and Iraqi central governments have really oppressed the Kurds for decades, and it's not unreasonable. The Kurds don't trust them anymore.
Right. Well, the Kurds were sold out by Henry Kissinger and the Shah, and my fear is that they'll get sold out again. I mean, and not to mention that they also have sort of divisions between these kind of rival mafia families, the Barzanis and the Talibanis, and the Talibanis just sold out the Kurds on giving up Kirkuk, where their oil lifeline is, right?
They did indeed. And I mean, one of the things that, this is a complicated situation, even when you think of the sort of, quote, the Kurds as a unified bloc. But as you mentioned, they're not. The Syrian Kurds are divided amongst themselves, but are generally, more of the dominant groups anywhere are leftist Kurdish groups within the KRG in Iraq. The dominant party in the north near Erbil is sort of a conservative Kurdish family, the Barzanis that you mentioned. And then in Sulaymaniyya and Kirkuk, it's a different Kurdish family, the Talibanis, who are sort of more leftist again. So this is a very complicated dynamic and really, extremely localized control for these various parties. So, the idea of an independent and unified Kurdistan has been a dream for many Kurds for many decades, but is very far from reality. The issue here really for the U.S. is Turkey's behavior at this point. Erdogan, he's launched this offensive. There's a chance if it's a limited offensive and it just, as many, as I expect actually, if it's just to reassert control over the string of villages that the Kurds seized from Turkish-backed rebels 2 years ago, then perhaps this can be managed to sort of a stalemate. Erdogan can declare victory for his, you know, very strong nationalist constituency at home and perhaps strengthen his position vis-a-vis the Russians and the regime in the negotiations towards a, you know, post-war settlement. And everybody can go back to trying to get to sort of a live and let live situation. But if he really is bent on wiping out Afrin and wiping out the Kurdish presence across Turkey's southern border, that's a completely unachievable goal that will spark years of fighting and, you know, tremendous bloodshed and human disruption and upheaval. And at that point, if he really pursues that more ambitious and bloody goal, the U.S. will have some very difficult questions to consider regarding its relationship with Turkey, of course, a NATO ally, as you mentioned right at the start.
Well, of course, at this point, the Russians and the Assad regime are angry with the Turks. So the U.S. is not really as alarmed. But as you say, it could get worse, and then they would be going after the very people that the U.S. Have supported, who have been the only effective boots on the ground and who the U.S. wants to have a long-term presence with. Thanks for joining us, Max. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me in.
And again, I've been speaking with Max Hoffman, who's Associate Director for National Security and International Policy at the Center for American Progress, where his research focuses on the Turkish and Kurdish regions. We're going to take a brief station break. We'll be back looking into how much the North Koreans have done an end run around Trump's belligerent rhetoric by sending their Olympic team under a common flag to South Korea.